Hello and welcome to today's episode of the Not Just a Lawyer podcast. I'm Sarah Avery of Sarah Avery Legal Practice, and today I'll be giving you a primer on the Witness K and Bernard Collaery prosecutions. I won't be making any comments about this matter because it is before the courts, but in case you're wondering what it's all about, I'll give you a brief background. I acknowledge that I'm recording this podcast on the traditional lands of the Ngunnawal and Ngambri people, and I pay my respects to their elders past, present and emerging. The following information is coming from a variety of sources, but first up, I'm looking at an article published by ABC News. This was published on the 28th of June 2018. And the title is Witness K and Lawyer Bernard Collaery Charged with Breaching Intelligence Act Over East Timor Spying Revelations. So in 2018, parliamentarian Andrew Wilkie used his parliamentary privilege to let people know that there were charges against Witness K and Bernard Collaery. Now, Witness K is a client of Bernard Collaery, who is a lawyer. Bernard Collaery was an Attorney General of the Australian Capital Territory, and he's been a lawyer for a really long time. Witness K engaged Bernard Collaery as his lawyer, with the approval, I understand, of Australian Intelligence Services. And this article reveals that Witness K is a former ASIS spy, and both of them face charges over revealing information about ASIS. So it is alleged that Witness K raised some concerns about an operation done by ASIS, which is the Australian Secret Intelligence Service. And that operation was allegedly to bug, as in to use some listening devices, the cabinet of East Timor or Timor-Leste in 2004. So the Australian government could listen to cabinet discussions during negotiations about an oil and gas treaty. So Witness K was concerned about this and apparently went to speak with, I believe, the Inspector General about thinking that this was a wrong thing to do. Now, cut forward to 2018, the federal government, under then Attorney General Christian Porter, decided to formally charge Witness K and Bernard Collaery with offences. So this led to various things happening, but one of them was that the offices and home of Bernard Collaery were raided and his passport was seized. So that raid, I understand, on Witness K also occurred, and that raid was done by ASIO. There is legal proceedings currently on foot, so these are criminal proceedings, and the government has made an application for much of those proceedings to occur without the public there, and also for a lot of the material being discussed to be redacted. So usually when a matter is before the court, it's an open court. That's generally the case unless it's a children's court or there's some high-level public interest involved. And also transcripts are usually made public, but in this case, having them redacted means having certain words and phrases cut out of them. And that's done on the basis of an application by the Australian government because there is material that they consider it is in the national interest to keep quiet, essentially, to keep from being public. So let's talk a little bit more about what's going on. As I said, the first article I referred to was from 2018. Let's cut now to 2020. And for this part of the episode, I'm relying on an article by the Law Society Journal. This is the Law Society Journal of New South Wales Law Society. This article is dated the 31st of July 2020, and the title is Why Bernard Collaery's Case is One of the Gravest Threats to Freedom of Expression. And a snapshot is provided for us in this article. So both Witness K and Bernard Collieri are charged under Section 39 of the Intelligence Services Act, which makes it a criminal offence for a person to communicate any information that was prepared by the Australian Secret Intelligence Service in pursuit of its functions. And the ACT Supreme Court ruled on the 26th of June 2020 that part of the trial would be held in secret. Now, the lawyers for Bernard Collieri protested that. Their argument was that open justice is an essential part of our legal system, the rights of defendants, and of our democracy. And you might recall in my previous episode about the rule of law, me talking about open justice and how it was considered to be a very integral part of the rule of law in Australia. Now, the matter has developed further. You'll note that the charges were laid around 2018, that the article I just referred to was from 2020, and you'll probably be noticing that this legal matter is taking a very long time. The Law Society Journal article refers to Witness K giving notice during 2019 that he would plead guilty to his charge or charges. I'm not sure if there's more than one, but Bernard Collieri is contesting the charge. That is, he is pleading not guilty. Now, the Law Society Journal talks about possible defences under the law. So possible defences that might arise in relation to a charge falling under Section 39 of the Intelligence Services Act. Now, the author notes that there's no public interest defence, so you cannot argue that disclosing the confidential information was done in the public interest, and that does not make a defence. But there are two other defences available, and the author says that neither of those fits easily within the facts of the case. One is that information can be disclosed if it has already been communicated or made available to the public with the authority of the Commonwealth. The author considers that it's likely that the Commonwealth in this matter didn't provide permission for the disclosures that were made. The second possible defence allows the disclosure of information to the Inspector General of Intelligence and Security, who monitors and oversees the activities of the intelligence agencies. So this article indicates that Witness K requested that the Inspector General of Intelligence and Security give permission to disclose information about the alleged ASIS bugging operation so that Witness K could give evidence to the Permanent Court of Arbitration, which is located in The Hague. And he received permission to do that disclosure, but the government withdrew his passport so he couldn't travel to The Hague. You might be wondering why these disclosures couldn't be permitted under the Commonwealth's Public Interest Disclosure Act, which some people call the Whistleblower Act. But Section 41 of the law exempts intelligence information from being disclosed under that Public Interest Disclosure Act. So there are charges on foot. I'm definitely not going to comment either way on what the outcome should be, but I will continue to tell you about how things are going. So I'll be moving on now to another article also published in 2020. So the article to which I was just referring was authored by Spencer Zifshak, and the next article I'll be talking about is an Australian Financial Review article, an opinion piece by Ian Cunliffe from 14 August 2020. And it's noted in this article that at the time there had been 9 months of hearings, 7 judgments, and the government had spent $2 million on the matter. The difficulty in knowing a lot about how things are going with the matter and where it is up to is, of course, the secrecy that is involved. And that brings us to the most recent spate of articles that are cropping up at the moment. Now, it's 2021. I'm recording this in early to mid-May, and there is a lot more commentary arising at the moment about this matter. Part of the increase in reportage is because a lot of legal bodies have come out and made requests to the new Attorney General to reconsider whether this prosecution should go ahead at all. And that's a fairly common type of thing to do in criminal law matters, though these kinds of representations are more often made to the prosecutors themselves. But in this case, because it does appear that the prosecution has a highly political background to it, that is, it's a national interest matter, it's an intelligence matter, a lot of these representations are going to the new Attorney General. So I'll now refer to an article in the Canberra Times. It's an opinion piece by Kieran Pender, who is a lawyer who provided this article or opinion on the 17th of May 2021. The title is "There is no place for secret trials in Australia." Now, Kieran Pender, as I mentioned, is a lawyer. He's a senior lawyer with the Human Rights Law Centre, and his focus within the Human Rights Law Centre, among other things, is on whistleblower protection. He notes that it's very difficult for even the most diligent observer to keep track of these prosecutions. And that is because they're taking a long time, and also because a lot of elements of them cannot be reported upon because of the closed court and the redactions that are occurring. He notes that this has been working its way through the ACT court system for around 3 years, and that there have been at least 11 interim judgments, and he says possibly more that are not public. Now, for people listening, interim judgments are judgments that are made on issues that crop up during the matter, but aren't occurring at a final hearing. So in other types of matters, they might be about the admissibility of certain evidence. They might be about other procedural things, but they do involve rulings that will impact the way the hearing itself actually runs. Mr. Pender says that last June, Justice David Mossop granted secrecy orders sought by the Morrison government under the National Security Information Act. Mr. Pender goes further. He says, "He had little choice. The NSI Act insists that the courts give greatest weight to the view of the Attorney General on such matters." Now, Mr. Cleary is currently appealing the orders that the trial will be heard in a closed court, and so it will be very interesting to see how that unfolds. And Kieran Pender notes that the appeal itself is being held behind closed doors. Now, I will tell you, it is unusual to have so many aspects of a hearing held behind closed doors, and as I said before, that's due to our reliance on the principle of open justice as a key part of the rule of law. Now, let me tell you a little bit more that's quite interesting and something that I hadn't appreciated until I read this article by Kieran Pender, which I note is an opinion piece in the Canberra Times. Mr. Pender quotes from Justice Mossop. He says, "As Justice Mossop put it, by this mechanism, the Attorney General hopes to maintain a position of neither confirm nor deny," and then in brackets NCND, "in relation to the subject matter of the redacted." So that's quite interesting and probably difficult for you to understand, as I have the privilege of reading from a piece of paper. But it seems that the judge, Justice Mossop, is suggesting that the Attorney General wants to be able to neither confirm nor deny engaging in certain activities. And by keeping a closed court and preventing reporting on it, it looks like Justice Mossop believes that the Attorney General will try to be able to say neither confirm nor deny that that happened, and nobody will be able to report on what the court finds. So that's a pretty interesting position to be in. I don't want to minimise, by saying that it's interesting, the stress that Witness K and Bernard Collieri are likely under, as is any defendant or accused person in any criminal matter. And also, I'd recognise any complainant or witness in any criminal matter. So, as I said, that opinion piece was published in the Canberra Times on the 17th of May 2021. That basically brings you, as my lovely listener, up to speed with what is happening in this matter, and hopefully lets you understand what it is about. When I have more information to share, I will, but I suspect it will be a very long time before anyone is in a position to do that. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the Not Just a Lawyer podcast. I hope you found it informative, and I hope that it gives you a bit of light on the situation of the Witness K and Bernard Collieri trials, and also a little bit more insight into what open justice actually means and what it might look like when there isn't open justice in a particular matter. Thanks again for listening.